The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region, living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back, everybody. And on the very strong probability that I will not see all of you on the way out the door, I will take this opportunity to wish each of you sincerely a blessed Christmas. That's my prayer for each one of you here today. A tiny little thought for you and a story that you might find interesting. It's a story of a diamond that they discovered in the mines in South Africa. Biggest gem quality diamond that's ever been found. The thing was more than 3,000 carats, weighs 1.3 pounds. It's approximately the size of a grapefruit. Perfectly clear. And if you don't remember hearing about that in the news anytime, that's because this happened in the year 1905. Okay, so I'm telling you a little bit of news from yesteryear, but it's still kind of interesting. Now, at the time, that diamond was the most valuable treasure that anybody had ever found. The funny thing about finding something that valuable is that people don't quite know what to do with it. Okay, so they squabbled for a couple of years, squabbled, trying to figure out what they were going to do with this thing. And the only thing they finally agreed to do was they'd give it as a gift to the King of England, right? So they had to get the diamond from South Africa to England. So they got a garrison of armed soldiers and a safe, approximately the size of this pulpit, great big safe. And they wheeled it up the gangway onto this big gunboat and surrounded it with a flotilla of patrol vessels, and they sailed away from South Africa to the British Isles. But here's the thing. The diamond was never on the boat. The entire mission was a decoy. It was a dodge, a distraction from what they were really doing. You know what they really did with the diamond? They mailed it. They literally put it in a cardboard box and they sent it through the mail, postage due. Because sometimes the very best thing to do with a treasure is to hide it in plain sight. Now, greatest treasure this world has ever known was not a sparkly rock. Greatest treasure this world has ever known is Jesus Christ, who, hope you all know, we believe, is God himself come down to earth. And Christmas is the story of how God himself entered into his own creation, hiding in plain sight. Now, why would he do that? Why would God hide in plain sight? Of course, you know the story, right? You know the story. He was born into this world with no advantages to his divinity. Born just like anybody else who's born into this world, a totally vulnerable little baby. You know, born in straw poverty, shivering in the cold. He wasn't born in a palace, he wasn't born in a temple. He's hiding in plain sight. Why would God do that? Why wouldn't he do something more like, you know, like what we would expect from, you know, God, like riding down the side of Mount Olympus, riding on a thunderbolt? Why not? Because this God is a God of love. And you know what love wants? More than anything else, love wants to be loved in return. And entering into this world as one of us, hiding in plain sight, he gives us the opportunity to do exactly that. His greatest gift that he gives us is that he takes our own weaknesses onto himself. When he becomes one of us, Emmanuel, God with us, he shows us who he really is. And he closes the gap, closes the chasm that had separated God from man and been at the root of all human angst from the very foundation of the world. And he shows us in Christmas that he's God with us, not just when things are going well, but most especially when things are not. That's the story of Christmas. You could say that the first time the story of Christmas was ever told was by the prophet Isaiah. The year was 722 BC, and you heard it in your first reading. That was when God's chosen people were conquered and ransacked by a band of Bronze Age thugs, the army of Assyria, God's own people, who he had cared for and nurtured and led out of slavery and protected with his own guiding hand across the desert and into the land of promise. And they built his own people and his own nation, and they'd been led by great leaders like King David and King Solomon, and they were crushed. And everybody thought it was over. Everybody thought that was the end, but that's when the prophet Isaiah speaks. The people who walked in darkness, he said, have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in a land of gloom, a light has shone. For a child is born to us, a son is given us. Upon his shoulder dominion rests. They will call him Wonder, Counselor, God, Hero, Father forever, Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ was not born into the capital city of a mighty empire. Jesus Christ was born into this world, fulfilling the prophecy, born into this world in a conquered and oppressed people. Because God is most with us, not when things are at their best, but when things are at their worst. That's the story of Christmas. Everybody knows the story of Christmas. You heard it in the gospel. You've been acting it out in Christmas pageants since you're 4 years old, right? Everybody knows the story. Joseph's up there in Nazareth. He's working at his carpenter's bench. And Mary, his wife, she's due any day. She's 9 months pregnant. And in faraway Rome, it was mighty Caesar Augustus who decided that right now would be the perfect time to call a census. And so somebody nailed a notice to the carpenter's door of Joseph in Nazareth. And now he would have to take his wife across 80 miles of high country road in the biting winter cold, jostled on the back of a donkey. And of course, you know what happened when they got there. There's no place for them, no place for the child Jesus to be born. And Jesus Christ enters into this world surrounded by livestock, because it's the only place Joseph can get a roof over his head. Jesus Christ enters into this world surrounded by barn animals with all the accompanying smells. And what do they do here in the gospel? They tell us they placed him in a manger, which is a word whose meaning we almost have all forgotten. We think a manger is a beautiful white little porcelain crib gilded by Yadro, right? You forget, a manger is a feed box for a cow. Before they put little baby Jesus into the manger, you got to figure Joseph probably took his own cloak and he had to clean out all the cow drool first. The first Christmas was a disaster. It was a disaster. What made it great? What made it great is that God was with us, ladies and gentlemen. What made it great is that God is with us when things are at their worst. And that's what made that the most beautiful night history had ever recorded. Now, you look at the life of Christ in his public life ever since then, and this is what you find. He goes to the people who have it the worst. The people who this world holds in contempt. People like prostitutes and tax collectors and lepers. And you know how it was. The powerful people of the world and the wealthy people of the world, they hated him. And they ended up trumping up false charges against him and putting him to death, crucifying him between a couple of thieves. But he always went to those who were the worst and those who had it the worst, because that's the God who showed himself on Christmas Day. God's grace, ladies and gentlemen, it's like water. You know what water does? Water rushes to the lowest possible place. That's what God's grace does. It rushes to the lowest possible place, to those who have most need of it, right? And they think that they're so inundated by sin that God will never forget them. Those are the people who are most surrounded by God's grace. Don't ever think you're so far away that God can't forgive you. Like what St. Paul said, where sin abounded, grace all the more abounded. Those who need it the most, and the humblest souls and the lowest souls, that's the ones God goes to first. Christmas is unlike any other Mass of the whole year. It's the only Mass of the whole year where our primary celebration is in the middle of the night. Why is that? You don't need me to tell you. Church is a morning thing, right? Except on Christmas. Primary celebration's in the middle of the night. Why is that? Symbolic. It tells us who God is. Because when he came into this world, he came when it was darkest, when it was coldest, when we were lost and couldn't find the way to him. That's when he loved us more than ever. Now, what we want to do is take the message that God has revealed on Christmas Day. I want to put it right here. Okay? This isn't something we just celebrate one day a year. This is something we keep in our hearts all year long. And when you do, it changes everything. You will never wallow in despair. No one who takes the message of Christmas, and they have it right here in their heart, ever, you know, looks around at this world in despair and says, look at what this world has come to. Never. In fact, we say the opposite. We keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and we say, look at what has come into this world. We want to remember that. Not just on Christmas, because Christmas, as you all know, it can be just such a stressful time. Can I share with you something kind of clever that I heard recently? Something kind of clever. If your house is a mess, it's still Christmas, okay? If the gifts aren't wrapped, it's still Christmas. If the tree's not trimmed, it's still Christmas. If the food's not ready, order out pizza, it's still Christmas. But if it's not about Jesus Christ, it's not Christmas. If it's not about Jesus Christ, it's not Christmas, because he is Emmanuel, the one who humbled himself to take on our humanity, that he could lift us up to his divinity. And that is why we say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Because born for us this day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Amen.